Hello, welcome once again. We are continuing with our study on the planning to succeed. Planning as a necessary step for every success. We have treated 5 episodes in the past. This is our 6th episode, and in this episode, we'll be discussing goals and personal values alignment. Aligning goals to your personal values. We all set goals, and what we are discussing today is that those goals must agree, must be in harmony, must be in alignment with personal values. And how do we achieve that? That's what we are set to discuss today. Before we go into today's topic, if you are a returning subscriber, I want to say thank you for keeping faith with us, staying tuned to the Candid Cast always. And if you are new, if it's your first time of joining us, I want you to take this time, click the notification button, subscribe, and also share. Give us a like if this has been a blessing to you, which I am sure it will always be. Thank you. So, welcome to another insightful episode where we will explore the essence of personal value alignment with goals for enduring success. It's not every success that is enduring, so we talk of enduring success. If your success does not bring you inner peace, the success was not worth pursuing in the first place. And in this episode, we'll be giving examples of so many of such so-called success that destabilize the person at the end of the goal. I've emphasized in earlier episodes that the goal of pursuing success is to derive inner peace. Your success must end with an inner peace. You must be in harmony within yourself after you have made success. To this end, success for you must not be what another person wants, but what promotes your inner peace and gives you satisfaction at the end of it all. Success that does not give you inner peace, does not give you personal satisfaction, it does not matter what people say of you outside. That inside, internalize your success. That's what is important. So we actually live in an age when most people are not sure of what they want out of life. A friend of mine, for example, who made a visit to India, he went to work there for a meeting. And they were going regularly to the office of the host for about 1 week during his stay. At the end of the week, when he was returning to the airport, the host saw a vehicle and pointed and said, "Oh, that's like my vehicle." He said, "Ah, so you own a car? I've never seen you with it. You always come to work in a scooter." He said, "Yes, I do own a car, but I use it only on weekends when I need to go out with my family. But if I'm coming to work and I'm alone, I use the scooter. The reason is that the scooter uses 1 liter of fuel for 40 kilometers, and the car uses 1 liter of fuel for 10 kilometers. So what will carry me to work for 1 day using my car will carry me for 1 week using the scooter. But you find that in our environment, we will rather buy that big car, use it to go to work, cry for the price of fuel, ask for fuel subsidy, who will subsidize our luxury, our vague and vain consumption that we have come to be known for. So when you set a goal of owning a car, for example, that's one simple thing. Literally everybody at one point in time or the other has this goal. It is important to align the goal with your values. How do you align it? Your conviction on the reason you need a car. One of my pastors used to talk, make a joke of the disclosed reason and the real reason. The reason for buying a car, what you tell us may be different from your actual reason. The real reason is often not disclosed. Why do we buy an 8-plug car and go complaining about the price of fuel? or the fuel consumption of the car. You know that 8 plug car will normally consume so much more than a 6 plug car or a 4 plug. And 4 plug can actually take you to where you are going. So why do we build big houses at old age when all the children have graduated and left home? It's only a man and a wife that is left in the house. And they now go complaining about maintenance, who occupies the room everybody's at. Why do we kill ourselves to visit another man's country, even when we are not financially in a position to do so? We get insulted at the visa office, and you now ask yourself, what does that country add to you? If you are not economically in a position to, why do you hurt your best interest to just join the Joneses to say, I have visited this number of countries? Why do you buy the cloth you are not really in a position to afford? Why do we need somebody's name on a piece of cloth before we can wear it and feel belonging? Must it be a designer? What is the reason for going for a designer dress? What informs the choice of where we take our meals? Someone went to a restaurant and posted the receipt issued to him at checkout on the social media to show the whole world that he has spent over ₦1 million at a sitting for his food and drinks. Who needs such information? So the story was told of a man who was pursuing the position of firstborn, even if he was not naturally a firstborn son at birth, and he made his brother to agree to selling his birthright to him for a plate of food. In selling the birthright, the older brother said, what is birthright to me when I am dying of hunger? So what's the goal of the big brother? To just get food. Take the birthright, give me food. He was made to swear to an oath that he would not ask for the birthright after the meal. And he sealed the deal with an oath. It was done. And he got the food that he wanted. But that's not the end of the story. That's why we are talking about aligning your goals to your value. You achieved your goal. What next? So the goal of getting food was achieved, but the story did not end there. He wept bitterly for the lost birthright, but could not get it back. He was willing to kill his brother for taking his position as firstborn. The peace of the family was lost even after he has achieved his goal of getting a meal. If you take a meal at 2 p.m., you will be hungry at 8 p.m. on the same day. That's the truth. And you will say birthright that is supposed to run for generations. We have this same story of somebody was supposed to be king of England. That said, because he loved a stranger, and they say if you marry a stranger, you cannot be king. He rather forfeit the kingship and marry that stranger for love. That decision was not binding only on him. It was binding on his children and children's children's children. None of them will ever be king of England anymore. He took that decision and sacrificed it for the entire generation. The man that sold birthright had a goal of getting food and terminating his hunger, but the price was way too much to pay. He sold his peace. He sold family harmony in that transaction. So even if he achieved his goal of ending his hunger for one day, just that moment, it may not even be the entire day, because he will still be hungry later in the day. I don't know what he will say next. The man that acquired the birthright set a goal of achieving firstborn position. He achieved his goal, but could not stay to inherit his father, as he had to run from home. He was afraid his brother could kill him. Family harmony was lost, and for several years he was on the run from his brother, living as a refugee in the fear that his brother may kill him. To me, that price was way too much to pay. Aligning goals with personal value means that your objectives are consistent with and support your core beliefs, your principles, your motivations. After achieving your goal, what next? That's a question everybody that is setting goal must ask. What next? Will I be at peace after achieving my goal? What next? After that career or financial success, what next? Will you be at peace? Or is it possible the brothers in the story wanted to end family harmony? I don't think so. That wasn't their intention. But their goal at that point was not in harmony with their values. The value of keeping the family in harmony, united, peaceful, they never considered all those things when they were setting their goal. So if Jacob knew all the consequences, including never seeing, getting to see his beloved mother again, would he have acted otherwise? So let's look at many reasons why we need to consider our personal values in goal setting. First, we look at the factor of motivation. Good goals that show an end in vivid pictures, the results are clear, the end is known, setbacks are predicted and provided for. This will motivate an individual and members of his team to a commitment to achieving that goal. So motivation is the first reason. Number two, greater satisfaction. Aligning goals with values. You know, in the stories that I've stated earlier, you find people who achieved their goal but they lost it all. So aligning goals with values gives you a sense of direction and meaning, helping you to feel more fulfilled and satisfied. When goals that agree with personal values are accomplished, there is inner peace. The goal of sacrificing career for the raising of godly children can give you a lot of peace at old age. Acting otherwise could breed lots of regrets. Lia Lee said, "Life is filled with choices, and one of the choices that has left her with profound regrets was the decision to prioritize career over family. The thrill of landing the big job, the excitement of that big promotion, and the success that is seen outside came at a price way too expensive." We need to get the real price of what we are pursuing. Number three, you have informed decision making. When faced with choices, your values serve as a guiding principle to make your decision making process easier and more consistent and driven by principles that will stand the test of time. When I'm talking of the test of time, I look at from the earlier example that we gave, somebody who wanted lunch. You took the lunch, you lost your birthright. Time will tell whether you are still happy that you succeeded. You succeeded at your goal, but are you happy after you have achieved your goal? And number four, aligning your values with your goal, we have that impact of creating inner peace at the end of it all. It will minimize internal conflict. You won't be at war with yourself even after you have succeeded, because you are working towards objectives that resonate with your core beliefs. Now that we have seen the benefits, how do we really go about it? How to align goals with personal value? First, you must identify your core values. Many of us don't know what we want. Like in the discussion of elderly people going to build 8-bedroom house when all the children, what do you want? Is it accommodation or something to show people? You are getting older, you cannot climb up, you want a 12-story building for your... What do you want to achieve? So know what you want. A deep reflection on what matters most to you in life, such as family, honesty, personal growth. This reflection must be guided by the acknowledgement that life is not a bed of roses. So we don't look for the one that is pain-free. Pains and setbacks are temporary. They will naturally, they are part of every process that will bring success. They soon fade away. I know people who bought cars, the best of cars, traveled the world from the stock market income of 2003 to 2007. They earned the applause of men, but went broke as soon as the stock market went south in 2008, and they are quickly forgotten by those cheerleaders, those clapping for you today that you are taking some stupid decisions. Will they be there when these decisions begin to crumble on your head? So we don't do things because we want to earn the applause of men. Examine it properly. Let it align with your values. Know what your core values are. Number two, examine your goals. Check all the choices before you and settle for the one that will give you peace in the long run. Even if men will mock you at the beginning. As I was doing my workout in the morning in a residential estate, I realized that there were people I met three times within a space of 30 minutes because we are on a circular road that spans about a kilometer. It occurred to me that there were also others on the same road which I did not meet at all. The reason is some were traveling clockwise in the circle and others anti-clockwise. Those in the same direction with me that started, say, about five minutes or so before me, in the same direction that I was traveling, I never got to meet them, but we used the same road. The ones in the opposite direction, I met as often as I go around the circle. This leads to a reflection. So while I was reflecting on this, I realized that you will never clash with the devil if you are traveling the same direction with him. If you are godly, you will be on collision course with the devil very often. As often as you turn around, you will meet him again, and there will be opposition. So you can't pursue any good goal and expect that there will be no opposition. Bad people will mock your good choices, like those who mocked me when I was in school, that I was a triangular student for reading too much. I've seen smokers mock non-smokers and calling them, "You guys, you don't belong." I've seen wayward girls mock the righteous for not knowing how to get the latest phones and the so-called good things of life. We live in a world that is upside down. Number three, we must have periodic re-evaluation of goals. Evaluate your objectives and determine which ones align with your values and long-range objective. Check the relevance. What you consider relevant when you are 30 years old may be completely irrelevant by the time you turn 40. So flexibility is required. Don't be rigid about it. As you learn more, as you mature, as you grow, you begin to realize that what is important keep shifting. So modify, that's number four now, or change your goals. As you mature, prioritize. Priorities will keep changing, and so should goals change to align with values that will give you peace. When your goals and your personal values are in harmony, you will create a more meaningful and fulfilling life, as your objectives will be driven by what truly matters to you. So this is where we draw the curtain today on the Candid Cast. Thank you for staying tuned. God bless you.